today on Real Radio.
You and I are going to experience the ultimate realization of our sins being forgiven. The ultimate miracle is, according to God, we will live forever with Jesus Christ in heaven. And you want to get excited about Christmas, you ought to get excited about that, because Christmas is the very announcement of the ultimate gift, and that is eternal life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's very special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called, At Christmas, God is Saying. Now, if God, in all of his loving wisdom, chose to communicate with us by speaking to us, first of all, how would he do that? And how would he send that message to us? If Christmas could be summed up in just a few words, it would be this. It was the day that God spoke to us, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Jesus, for he will save us from our sins. And all this is done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And you know, God keeps his promises because he loves us. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Today, for this special Christmas message, Pastor Jack tells us that at Christmas, God did for us the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of love, hope, and forgiveness. He offered his very best to us, the gift of his son Jesus, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And now, in his message called, At Christmas, God is Saying, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Imagine for a moment, if God was to speak, how would you see Christmas? How does that register in your mind? How does that look? What does that sound like? Well, we don't have to guess too far. According to God's word, according to the Bible, God would speak to us, and God has spoken to us with a message. God sends his word. It's amazing how, no matter what age you might be, a story captures your attention. God speaks to us through stories, and God speaks to us by revealing to us his eternal plan in the way of a narrative or in the way of an announcement. And so there's several things that I want to share with you this morning, understanding that we're all a family here today, and we'll keep it relatively short, but I want to be true to the Christmas message today. But I want you to be thinking, if God was to be speaking to us, and he has, and he is, what would he be saying? And so I would encourage you this morning to consider this, that at Christmas, God is saying that I have sent you the most amazing announcement ever. How would God speak to us? He would do so by, first of all, giving us the announcement. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king said or heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they went to the Bible. They opened up the Bible. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written of the prophet, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you had found him, bring a word back to me that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God speaks to us, and the message at Christmas is brought to us by a radical, never before repeated, never before will be repeated announcement. God employed angels, God employed empires, God employed wise men, all of these things coming together to bring about the Christmas announcement. 2,000 years later, celebrated around the world. I share this with you every year, but I want to say it again. There are celebrations that take place. There are holy days that happen. But Christmas is the most celebrated announcement of any holy day in all of the world. Christmas. I found it interesting that a friend of mine who owns his channel, maybe many of you are aware of his channel. It's that internet broadcasting television program, and it's all about Christian programming. And a couple of days ago, he was saying, Jack, I am discovering something from all of our internet data that we're seeing such a radical download and viewing of Christmas announcements, Christmas messages that were airing on our channel in Muslim nations where Jesus is not allowed, where the Christmas announcement is not to be heard. And he's saying, we've never seen anything like this before. And I think that's great news. People all around the world, even in areas where the announcement of Christmas is not allowed, people, by virtue of technology and the internet, are trying to find out more and more about Christmas, something that you and I, many of us, grew up with. We maybe even take it for granted. But to think about the announcement that God says, this is what's going to happen. Angels are going to appear. I'm going to move kings and kingdoms, and I'm going to bring my son, my child, into the world. Another thing that Christmas is announcing is that at Christmas, God is saying to us that I'm going to keep my promises to you. God says, I'm going to keep my promises to you. And the overriding confirming fact that God keeps his promises is the very story of Christmas, the very coming of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. Now, church, listen, you and I know that promises that we make, let's be honest, when you and I make a promise, they come from a heart that is 100% committed to the promise, right? We make it. We're the ones making the promise. We're the ones who say, I promise I will do this for you. Why do we say that? Because we intend to keep it. When we say, I promise I will pick you up at 5 o'clock, we mean that. The downside is you and I do not have the power to keep all of our promises. It doesn't mean we don't want to. It means that we don't have the power to keep them all. Things happen in life. And think about what God does to keep his promises to us. When God says something in his word, God doesn't intend to keep it and hopes he does. God keeps his promises because he said he would keep them. This is wonderful for all of us to remember. Friends and family, boys and girls, listen up. God has promised you Christmas. You say, oh, Pastor, that's great. Does that mean when I get home this afternoon or tomorrow morning, I'm going to get that very thing I hoped for and prayed for? And that's not what I'm talking about. You could, you might. I don't know if you could pray in such a way. Oh, God, I prayed, so thus it must be. But God keeps his promises. God has promised to give you and I exactly what we need. And that is what Christmas is all about. First of all, how do we know that God's going to keep his promises for the future? How do we know that God's going to keep his promises regarding salvation through his son? Well, the Bible says that in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that it was the city or the town, I should say, the village of Bethlehem. Out of all the villages of Bethlehem, it's that little village that God said, I'm going to bring my son into the world in that little town of Bethlehem. And the biblical narrative, the Bible story, is exactly that. The angels were dispatched to shepherds in the fields at night of Bethlehem. It's remarkable to me, 21 centuries since the advent of Jesus, and Bethlehem in the hill country, it is still the place for shepherds. It's remarkable. Nothing has changed there since the times of Jesus. The hills are for shepherding, And they're there to this day. And what is amazing, I love how God has kept it that way, that the announcement is made, that that declaration is made, that God keeps his promises. And little baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not because it was the place where they had to stop because Mary was about to give birth. I mean, think of the timing of that. They're riding along and she's 9 months pregnant and all of a sudden, oh no, Joseph, he's coming, pull over. Oh, what's this town? Oh, it's Bethlehem. What a coincidence. No, it was ordained by God. God kept his promise and said through the ancient prophets, his son would be born in Bethlehem. That's exactly what happened. The Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the Lord himself will give you a sign. What's that all about? The Lord himself will give you a token of his promise that God will fulfill, complete his word. God will never fail at keeping his promises. And what is that? He says that the baby will be born none other than through a virgin, a young maiden, a young girl, a young teenager who had never known a man. By the power of God, by the workings of God, she would be found with child. The word found with child meaning that she would experience pregnancy without the assistance of a man. Can you imagine for a moment, she began to experience whatever a young mother-to-be starts to feel. She starts to go through all of those biological challenges. She starts to feel odd, starts to feel different, starts to feel strange. And yet she had never known a man. And God had revealed by the angel that this is what's going to happen, but it still had to be amazing. I wonder how many times Mary woke up in the morning, then the next morning, then the next morning, wondering, did this really happen? Was that all a dream? Quite amazing. But God said that the Son of God would come into this world born of a virgin. And that was from the prophet Isaiah, nearly 1,000 years before Jesus would ever be born. That same prophet went on to say in chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born." That's no big deal. That happens all the time. But here's what's different. A son is given. God is announcing, "I'm going to give my son," and that child that is to be born, look what it says, "the very governments of the world will rest upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God." Imagine that, a baby born into the world whose title is Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. This is the Jesus we worship and celebrate at Christmas. This is what God is saying at Christmas. Next, at Christmas, God is saying, "I've done for you the greatest miracle of all." The greatest miracle has not only been realized, but the greatest miracle, everybody, is still yet to be experienced. Because all that Jesus came to do for us is not yet complete. Think of that. You and I are going to experience heaven forever. You and I are going to experience the ultimate realization of our sins being forgiven. The ultimate miracle is, according to God, we will live forever with Jesus Christ in heaven. And you want to get excited about Christmas, you ought to get excited about that. Because Christmas is the very announcement of the ultimate gift, and that is eternal life. Can you imagine that for a moment? We need to ponder on that. We need to think of that. The announcement of Christmas. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2. It will be in some ways similar to Matthew's account, but listen carefully to this. There'll be differences. Listen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all that went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth in Judea to the city of David," which is 95 miles south down into Bethlehem, "because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed or engaged wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people or all nations. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And I love this, verse 13. "And suddenly," the word means with a breaking forth, with an interruption. Imagine that. "Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host," that is, more angels, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was when the angels had gone away from them up into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God with the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." That, friends, is the greatest miracle, I think, that has ever happened or ever shall happen. You might say, "Well, Jack, isn't the greatest miracle if we're healed from a sickness, or maybe our eyes are opened, or maybe even God raising somebody from the dead?" Listen, there's no doubt about it, those are miracles. But none of those miracles could be done without this miracle first. But isn't him dying on the cross and being resurrected from the dead the great miracle? There's no doubt about it. But those things never could have happened unless he came. And the account of it is absolutely awesome. Things that we dream about, think about. That first of all, shepherds that are out in the fields, you guys know if you attend this church, we've taught on it before. In that culture at that time, a woman's testimony in a legal setting held half the value of that of a man. Isn't that sad? Less than that was the testimony of a shepherd. A shepherd was considered the lowest rung of culture, the least desirable of people. If you saw in that culture 2,000 years ago a shepherd, it was somebody that you didn't even consider to be worth living. It was a very sad, a very embarrassing, a very ugly status in life to have. What I find awesome is that God revealed his miraculous message to a group of angels first. Does that say something to you? I love that fact. Because let's be honest, we could be talking about the Son of God being born at the powers of God to announce the greatest news that you'll ever hear, to reveal the most miraculous miracle that you'll ever know. Then why didn't God have his Son be born in the Jerusalem Hilton and have the Roman Empire blow trumpets and have the Emperor of Rome announce the birth of the King of Heaven, right? Why not? That's what you and I would have written down. That's how you and I would have had the script go. If the Son of God is coming into the world, then let's have fanfare. Let's blow the trumpets. Everything about God's advent of his Son was humble and meek and mild as it relates to us. Think about this. It's only because God did this for us that we who are lowly can be encouraged. Let's be honest. All of us are lowly. I mean, don't we look nice today? Take a picture. You ain't going to see this again until I'm doing your funeral. And then, I'm not into this stuff. I told the pastors last week, I said, "You know what, you guys? Wear a suit coat, but you don't have to wear a tie. It's just Christmas Eve. If it was Christmas Day, we'd have to wear a tie." So my wife, Lisa, the other day goes, I see your suit coat and your shirt. Where's your tie?" I said, "Well, it's Christmas Eve. I just told the guys we're not going to wear a tie." I was convinced to wear a tie. So I emailed the guys yesterday afternoon. I said, we will all suffer for Christ this morning. We must all bear our burdens. Listen, we would have dressed up. We would have had fanfare. We would have fireworks. It's the Son of God coming into the world. No, listen, we may be dressed up, but down deep inside, every one of us is lowly. Every one of us need forgiveness. Every one of us needs to realize and relish in the love of God. Every one of us need to experience that none of us are too low to accept God's incredible encouragement that he has come into the world to pick us all up. The announcement was made by lowly shepherds, revealed from heaven to them, yes, and I love it. Note the amazing divine contradiction, as it were. Angels announced. They suddenly broke in upon the scene, and they shouted the glories of God to a bunch of lowly shepherds who got up and ran into Jerusalem, or ran into Bethlehem first, and then ultimately it spread. I love that truth. The next thing that we consider today at Christmas is that God is saying this: I'm going to be with you. At Christmas, it's the announcement that God is saying, I'm with you all around the world, the most celebrated holy day in all of the world. Today, tomorrow, Christmas, this week. And what is the ultimate announcement? By the way, it's all wrapped up in that title. You'll never find the word Christmas in the Bible. You'll never find the date, by the way, of December 25th in the Bible. It was not December 25th. That was made, that was declared by the Roman Empire itself to be the day. That's not the day. The day on a calendar is meaningless. When it happened, this is what happened. Christmas is Christ. Mass is the gathering around. The gathering around Christ is the decision that you and I make to worship him. Look, let's be honest. We do set aside this season to acknowledge him. As a Christian, I'm going to flow with it. You want to know why? I'm going to take advantage. Amen. I'm going to take advantage of not only every day, but I take advantage of this season. Not for myself, but to proclaim and to shout and to encourage Christmas. Merry Christmas. And again, you guys know all month long we've been going about refusing to let storekeepers say happy holidays. We just won't do it. I went shopping yesterday and I didn't allow it. And I was at Nordstrom's Rack the other day, and some of you were there, and it happened again, just like it happened at Lowe's, and just like it happened at Home Depot, and just like it happened at Best Buy. I love it. When people say at the counter or wherever, happy holidays, we're responding, Merry Christmas! And it creates a little snowball effect, you know, no pun intended, but the snowball begins to roll. And what happens is people are shouting Merry Christmas. And we're really saying, gather around Christ, amass yourself around Christ. That's what God is saying at Christmas. And what is he saying? I have come so that I can be with you forever. I have come so that my message of salvation can be yours. I have come. And God expects us to know the reason why he came.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special Christmas message called At Christmas, God is Saying. Thanks so much for listening, and Merry Christmas from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. And may your Christmas be filled with moments of love and laughter as you spend time with friends and family. Our prayer for you this Christmas is that your 2019 will be full of contentment and joy that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus came so that we can have life, and he died on the cross to free us from our guilt and shame. Christ is the reason we celebrate Christmas, and it's given us great joy sharing our Real Radio program with you this past year. Thank you sincerely for welcoming us into your home and into your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.